going to turn once again to the 22nd chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. Verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. We're reading literally from the Hebrew, God did prove Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. We have the provocation of the cross here. God provoked Abraham to give his only begotten son Isaac to be sacrificed on Mount Moriah, which was Mount Calvary. The provocation of the cross. The proving of Abraham by the cross. We've already looked at that. But you'll notice we not only have the provocation of the cross, but we have the pulsation of the cross. There was a pull came into the heart of Abraham. And when God spoke, he didn't run away. He did the very opposite. He says, Behold, here I am. And then we go a little farther, and God said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Here we have the plantation of the cross. Where was it planted? On one of the mountains. One of the mountains of Moriah, which was the mount afterwards called Golgotha. So we have not only the provocation of the cross and the pulsation of the cross, we have the plantation of the cross. But we have something more. We have the predestination of the cross. God said, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. I wonder how Abraham felt when he heard those words. You couldn't have put a heavier burden on any man's heart than the burden of the predestination of the cross. That Isaac, his only begotten son, by his wife Sarah, that he was to be offered as a sacrifice on the altar that he would be building. But then we come to verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. He didn't run away from the place. He went to the place. Many of us, when God charges us with a difficult task, when God tells us it's the way of the cross for us, the way of sacrifice, the way of separation, we run away. But not so with Abraham. Do you notice carefully the steps he took? He rose early in the morning. He rose up early. He didn't let any time be wasted. God has told me to sacrifice my only son, and I'm going to do it. And very early in the morning, in the twilight darkness of a new day dawning, the great patriarch, over 100 years old, rises up early in the morning to do God's will. Happy is the man that hastens to do the will of God. Happy is the woman that hastens to do the will of God. Happy is the boy and girl who is quick to obey the Lord's voice. So we have there the wonderful manifestation, the wonderful picture of Calvary and of what God wanted him to do. And we have had a time looking at those special verses. But I want to come a little farther with you tonight, and I want to take you a little farther down this chapter. Verse 4, on the third day, he lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. The first time you ever saw Calvary, it was afar off. In fact, it was so afar off that you thought you would never make it. I remember the night I was saved. I want to get to the cross. But when I looked, it was so far away. There were so many obstacles, so many difficulties, so many hindrances. And there was a tearing of my heart by the power of the devil. Don't be a fool. Look what you're going to miss in life if you take Christ as your Savior. Yes, the devil said his lie, but I knew in my young heart it was a lie, for no one can measure what it is and what you lose if you don't do urgently and quickly the will of God. He saw the place. It was afar off, but he saw it. I will draw all men unto me if I be lifted up. And praise God for the drawing power of that cross. It may be afar off. In fact, the whole manifestation of the cross tonight is that tree that grows beside the crystal river, in the sea of God, and before God's throne. That seems to be far away. But when I contemplate my Savior, he brings that tree, he brings that cross right beside me. And praise God, I can gaze and gaze away my eyes in looking at the blessed cross and the blessed Savior who hung thereon. What a thing to be able to see Christ in his cross work. And here we have Abraham, and he had two young men with him. And he said to them, "Abide ye here I'm going to leave you good company. You're going to stay with the ass. But I'm going to go yonder, said Abraham, and worship. And I'm going to come again to you. I was thinking about that very, very early this morning. You were probably sleeping when I was thinking about it. And I said, Lord, I'm interested in this verse. I'm interested in it because we have two young men. I'm interested in it because there's an ass in this verse. And all the Bible verses that has an ass in are very important. And they're all related. So go through the Bible and find out the relationship. And also I said to myself, Abraham said, I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to leave you with the ass. I said, Lord, I know you have a sense of humor. You couldn't read the Gospels and not listen to Christ and not know he had a sense of humor. I'd like to have seen him when he said some of the things he said to the Pharisees and Sadducees. He talked about heavenly humor. And I said, I know another place where there were two young men. The Mount of Christ's Transfiguration. And two men appeared. Oh, you say they weren't young men, were they not? One was 120, but he didn't need glasses. His eyes were stronger than they ever were. And it says that his physical power was untouched. A young man, 120 years old, but he's in good form. There's hope for us all. Yes. And then I said there was another man. And he was a young man too. They called him Elijah. And you say, how do you know he felt young? Because he did one of the longest walks you could ever do. He walked the whole of the Holy Land. He started off at Gaza. And he walked down to Jericho and down through the whole of the Jordan Valley. And he passed over the Jordan and he went on walking until he walked into heaven. So he was a young man too. He had lost. But something else. There's an ass there. And I said, Lord, who is the ass? And the Lord said to me, read it. Peter was the ass. You know what he said? He said, we're going to go into a building. We're going to start a building. Think of it. Peter saying, we're going to start a building on the top of a mountain. And there wasn't a stone there for him to lay. And the Lord said, you just have a good look at Peter and don't you be like him. Because Peter was not to stay up the mountain. He was to go down into the valley. And one day in the valley, he would be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. And then the youth of Elijah and the youth of Moses would be upon him. And he would preach a sermon in which 3,000 souls were converted. God can make the ass a wise man. And he can make the donkey a Solomon. So there's hope for us all. Even if we didn't take the 11th plus. And you'll never have to take it now. You're too old And that's the way. I was with some young people on Saturday night, and they'd all got their 11 plus. And I said to one of them, I said, I'm too old. Because when I was at school, there was no such thing as 11 plus. The only 11 pluses we got when we got the key in 11 times. And we knew that there'd be some more in the future. But let me tell you this. God has a wonderful way of working. I was talking to Dr. Bob Jones tonight on the phone. He's away out in Colorado on a mission. And I was telling him about the two young men and the eyes. And he said, Ian, I never heard the like of that in my life. What a picture. And God said something more to him. He said, Abraham said, you just stay here. That's as far as you fellows are going. Now I'm going on. And he went on with the other young man who was Isaac. The lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Oh, this picture of Calvary. What a picture it is. And I see the great man, Abraham. I see his son, who at that time was a lad of 17 years of age. He could have run away. He didn't need to go meek as mild to be sacrificed. But he didn't. He went with the Father. And the Father did something. What did he do? Look carefully at the text. He took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, who carried the cross to Calvary. The blessed Son of God himself. They laid the cross until he was too weak to carry it. And then they brought a man from Africa to carry it the rest of the way. That's why we should love the African people. For it was a representative from Africa that carried the Savior's cross to the hill called Calvary. And the whole world owes a debt. It used to be, when I was a boy, they called it the dark continent. But it's not that today. It's one of the up and coming continents of the whole world. For God has a strange way in rewarding lands in times of history to show that he hasn't forgot their attitude to himself and their attitude to the Son. And could I say that when you're leaving tonight, I want you to get a copy of this letter, which I have received from our sister, Margaret Russell. And it's a wonderful letter telling of the intervention of God in their area and how their church has been preserved, how those that were murdering didn't murder in their area, and how those that were being murdered in other areas, they were able to set up through money that we were able to raise for them. David McElveen and myself, and we started an escape route. And many of God's children have taken the escape route and have escaped the killings and the murder. Wonderful story. Take it home with you and read it and pray much for those people. And may God touch your heart and may you get a gift and get it to us and we'll get it out to them because they need our help. But what a wonderful God we have. Yes, This is a wonderful story. But when we come down a little farther, we read something more. That Isaac spake unto Abraham, and he said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where is the lamb? What a wonderful man Abraham was. Abraham just said, My son. God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Do you notice something? He didn't say God will provide Himself a lamb for us. He didn't say, My son, God will provide a lamb. He said God will provide Himself a lamb. Because the lamb was first of all for the Father. The Father needed the lamb to be slain, or He couldn't have forgiven you any of your sins. If God hadn't provided the lamb, there would be no salvation in this chapter. It would be an eternal damnation. But of course, if you read carefully the book of Genesis, you will discover that Abraham was a prophet. Turn over to chapter 20 and verse 7. And God says of Abraham, Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. When you go home tonight, find out how many times Abraham prophesied. Find it out. Read the book. And here he prophesied. And what did he prophesy about? He prophesied about Calvary. God will provide Himself a lamb. Lord Jesus Christ said to old Nicodemus, he was an old rabbi, as tough as a Jew could be, and he came to Christ with flattery on his lips, and he said, No man can disprove that thou hast come from God, for the way you speak realizes it. But Christ didn't want his compliments. Christ wanted to cure his soul. And he looked him straight in the eye. He didn't acknowledge his good wishes. And he said, Ye must be born again. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we come here to the power of Calvary. The power of Calvary. God will provide Himself. But would you please notice that when Abraham was saying farewell to the young man, he said something more than I read out to you. He said to these young men, I have somewhat to say to you. And what did he say? He said, I will go yonder and worship and come again. Jesus Christ was not only to die as God's Lamb. But he was going to come again as God's King, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And our trouble is that we forget that the Lord is coming again. We forget it. Did you think today about the Lord's coming? I had a very godly grandmother, my mother's mother, and there never was a day that Granny did not tell you that she was thinking about the coming of the Lord. She thought about it every day. And sometimes she would stand at the window of her kitchen. And she would stand for maybe an hour praying. And when you would have asked her, why do you stand? She said, I'm just having a look out of the window to see if there any sign of Jesus coming. Oh, that we might live with the shadow of his coming upon us. Jesus is coming again. The world doesn't think it. The world doesn't want to know it. The world hates even the mention of it. But Jesus is coming again. And I would like to be alive. I'd like to do the undertaker out of his mummy. And I would like to seal up. Not like those who are dead and will be raised again, but those that will never die. For those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the others in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Why does it not put a thrill in your soul that before this prayer meeting ends, we could all be away? I don't think they would search for us, be glad to get rid of us. They would. But praise God, we will not be searching for them. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so we are going to be ever with the Lord. Forever with the Lord, amen. So let it be. Life from the dead. 'Tis in that word, 'tis in our tenet. So we have the price of Calvary. And we have the power of Calvary. But we also have here the prophecy about Abraham was a prophet, and Abraham had something to say, and it was about the Lord coming again. But he wasn't going to forget the two men, the two young men, were going to see him again, he tells us. And they are going to be reunited together by the grace of God. There was one last thing I want to leave with you, and that is the price of Calvary. Abraham had a price to pay. He had to take his son, and for 3 days, he had to walk with him. And every step of those 3 days was taking that son as far as Abraham was concerned to his death. How sore was Abraham's heart? How sore was the heart of God the Father? For every step of the 33 years of Christ on earth was taking Christ to the death of the cross. I don't know what feelings were in the feelings of Abraham. I do not know what tears ran down his cheeks. I think many times of the hour when it came. And old Abraham said, Isaac, I told you God would provide himself a lamb, but my son, you are God's lamb. You are God's lamb. I wonder how Abraham felt. And I wondered how Isaac felt. He could have run away. He was 17 years of age. His old father would never have caught him. But he didn't. He said, Father, I will be the Lamb of God. Bind my wrists. Tie my feet. Lay me on the altar. Take your knife and put it through my heart. Take the fire and burn my bones. I'll be God's lamb. And for a minute or two, Abraham lingered. And he said, what will I say to this boy's mother when I get home? What pain rend it the heart of God when he knew that when his son died on the cross, heaven for a time would be without a son. Bereavement in heaven. When God caused his son to die on the cross. I love that little chorus that says, help me to take it in, what it meant for thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. What a voice from heaven. What voice? The voice of God. Said Abraham! Abraham! And Abraham said, I am here. He said, turn round. And Abraham turned round and he looked back. And he saw a thicket of thorns. And the head of a ram, a young lamb, caught in the thicket. A lamb with a thorn-crowned brow in the thicket of thorns. And he walked over and he drew it out. He cut the ropes from Isaac's hands and feet. And Isaac and him lifted the lamb from the very place where Isaac a few minutes before had lain. And the knife went through the lamb's heart. And the fire burned the lamb's flesh and blood and bones. But standing beside one another, the Father and the Son stand together. And there is a voice. What voice is that? It is a voice of Abraham. And he says, this name of this place is Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh, what does it mean? The Lord will provide. Read through the book of Genesis and count how many times the word Jehovah has a surname. I think you'll find 16 times. a special name is given to God. And here it is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Before Abraham gave up Isaac, he gave up six other things. He gave up his native land. Chapter 12:1. He gave up his own kindred. Chapter 12:1. He gave up everything to follow God's leading. Chapter 12 and verse 1. He separated from Lot. Chapter 13, verse 5. He gave up his plans for Ishmael. Chapter 17, 15. And he cast Hagar and Ishmael out of his house. And then the final surrender. He offered Isaac on the altar. There's a price to be paid before we get to the final offering and see God's Son dying in our guilty room and stead. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. May we find liberty tonight as we approach the throne of grace. And that may that liberty be the liberty of the blood and of the cross of the Son of God. May God bless His word to our hearts for Jesus' sake.